Oh, well, there you go again. Okay. I'm Shelley Koppel from South Carolina, and I'm the president of our senior division here. And I welcome everybody to the call. If sounds like there's a few new names, I'm not sure that I've not been able to meet many of the calls this year because I've had some family obligations going on. And so I'm glad to be here today. And sorry if my voice gets scratchy. I tend to kind of come and go with things on that, so allergies and all that. But this is the National Senior Division sponsoring this conference call, and today's topic is going to be training sources other than state agencies. And so I thought, first of all, we might start with talking about some general sorts of things. And again, if people know the *6 option to mute when the moderator or whoever is talking, and then if you want to unmute, you do *6 to be able to ask your question, and then you could *6 to mute it again, and that helps to cut back on the background noise. And that way it just helps for the recording and for individuals to hear what's going on. So the first part of this, I think we're going to talk about training can be both blindness-related or not. And I say that because a lot of times individuals kind of are hesitant to start out maybe venturing out on their own or participating in a community-wide sort of training because they think maybe it would either be difficult or they would not be maybe as well received. And I would encourage people that that is not usually the case. And I know that senior centers in various cities have different classes. Oftentimes you will, people that go to these senior centers, they'll offer many diverse things, possibly in cooking or gardening or various crafts. Sometimes I think they even offer fun things like dancing. Well, not that gardening isn't fun, but things even that might stretch you, like dancing, square dancing, or some kind of dance exercise type things. Those can be really good opportunities to not only be involved from a standpoint for yourself, but to educate other individuals in your community about what vision impairment would look like being involved in these things, and that you're just a regular person wanting to learn some of these same things that other people in the community want to learn. And yes, you may need a little bit of verbal guidance, but typically it's not so overwhelming that you can't be involved in these groups that are offered. Churches oftentimes will offer different kinds of things. I know that various women's groups in the churches will do crafts, your quilters, or, you know, maybe crafts like maybe some type of ceramics or candy making or various craft sorts of things. And county extension groups, I lived in Nebraska a long time, and I got involved in some different county extension offerings, and those can be very helpful things to be involved in, that where people can, you can learn different, you know, crafts or things that you would like to learn, even about food service, how to prepare foods, how to can, how to freeze foods, how to make your food, you know, cooking safe, how to store it properly, how to, you know, how long you can leave it sitting out at room temperature before it spoils, you know, those kind of things, which can be very helpful. Maybe even cake baking for your family with grandchildren or something like that. And I was going to tell a little story about myself wanting to get involved in exercise here in South Carolina a few years ago. And I heard about this leisure center that offers different exercise opportunities, and there's this thing called
Renee, New Jersey.
Very good. I got at this leisure center I called offered Zumba, which is kind of exercise, but it uses dance routine kind of things too. Real bouncy, upbeat music, and I love music, and I called around and asked the instructor if what this was like and that I was blind and would like to be involved, and she kind of acted real starstruck about the whole thing, and I thought, well, is this really the avenue I want to go? And she talked to me about it, but just seemed real hesitant. And I thought, well, that's not maybe really where I want to be. And I'd gotten a lead on another group that does exercise, and they do yoga, they do massage therapy and different things like that. And I called up the lady, and I spoke with her. And she says, well, I've never had anybody that's blind before. But she says, I'm willing to work with you if you're willing to, you know, give me a try. And I said, well, sure. And I came in, and it happens to be a place that does one-on-one training. You pay for your time, but it's not like belonging to a gym where you would potentially lose, by paying, you would lose your time if you weren't able to be there. If you let this lady know of 24 hours in advance, she would be able to, you know, readjust your time so you wouldn't lose it. And she also offered a payment plan where if you, you know, sign up for several times in a row, then your cost is a little less. And she's a health physiologist, so she knew a lot about, you know, balance issues, your muscles, how they work. And she's a trainer, so she's willing to work and educate you on all the various equipment and things like this. And I have found that I'm still there, and it's about 5 years later, and I'm just loving it. And she offers other kinds of massage therapy and some other techniques that I've learned about. And I just encourage you to, you know, stretch yourselves in that kind of way, because she's learned and learned about the National Federation of the Blind through me. She's learned about blindness and what all that is and is not. And it's just been a wonderful kind of meld of talent and stuff. So I'm going to open the floor at this point and offer anybody to add comments and things about maybe places that would not be necessarily blindness training, but just opportunities in the community you've had. So if anybody has any comments you'd like to make, I'd leave that open for now. Don't be shy.
Oh, Shelley, this is Ruth. I do know that certain SILs, independent living centers, do offer some training. And in some states, such as in Pennsylvania, they do offer training on using eye products like iPads. So sometimes that can be very helpful if your family has purchased something, you've purchased and you want to know more than just the really basic kinds of things. So looking in your communities and sometimes other areas might have some classes like that, or libraries. So we can often find other ways to learn about technology and so forth, sometimes right in the local community, which
very
makes
good.
It more accessible, at least.
Sure. That was
and,
on my list.
And who's on the computer, if you're on the computer, if you could do mute 6, star 6, that would be helpful so we don't hear your computer.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Just helps out for everybody being able to hear. Well, that sounds good. I did have the Council of for Independent Living on my list here, and I guess we'll just pursue on, and if anybody has any thoughts along the way, we'll introduce those. I've also known independent living centers to offer some degrees of mobility or some degrees of, like, computer training, even cooking lessons, you know, things to do with cooking. And sometimes, you know, you might want to work with the individuals that sponsor these at the independent living centers. You know, have a conversation with them. Make sure they understand that, you know, you want to learn to do things like baking in the oven or frying things on top of the stove or using various appliances, to not be shy of letting you have those opportunities, because that is part of daily life, and we don't want to be limited by what people think we can do. We want to have that opportunity to kind of help gear people to the fact that there's alternative ways to set dials of various kinds, even to mark and label digital types of, displays and things like that. So educating people there again into what where abilities are and things like this. And I know there's several chapters across the country for the National Federation of the Blind that offer different trainings. I know some people do it where they have a person that specifically heads up a training center, or sometimes individuals get together on their own and offer training. A group of people will get together, and some will maybe know Braille, and others will be kind of in the learning stages of Braille and want to have more exposure to that or writing it. Again, the phone thing is, and different kinds of technology that way. I know some places have support groups, where before the support group, you'll get together for an hour or so, like I know the Colorado Center does this, and I'm sure other places do, where they'll have individuals that will teach, you know, Braille or computer or travel, cane travel, to individuals maybe an hour before the mentoring session, and then you have a support group meeting after that. So you get to talk then about how this went or what you're learning or putting it to use, during your support group time and that kind of thing. And by talking about it with other people then in the support group, it encourages other individuals to get involved. So then that brings me to Braille and eye products. Hadley School, I knew it as Hadley School for the Blind, and that may not be, I think it's Hadley Institute for Learning or something like that now. We have a gentleman on the call, Mr. Ed Haynes, who's from the Hadley School, who's here, and I know personally I've got some people in South Carolina who have taken this, seniors, who have taken this training and learned Braille this way. I know one lady just completed a course, got very high marks, for an introduction of being newly blinded and being new to, feeling good about yourself and all this kind of stuff. So that's a very wonderful program. Mr. Haynes, would you like to speak to this group, please?
Well, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak, and I'll try to keep it brief because I could probably talk for a couple hours about what Hadley has to offer, and I know you don't have that much time.
Right, and we'll let people ask questions as we go, too. So go ahead.
Sure. I just wanted, since you mentioned Braille, I do want to, I'll start off with Braille just briefly because that, of course, is our main focus, and we offer all sorts of Braille courses. And can you hear me? I'm getting a lot of static there. Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
We offer a lot of Braille courses, and when I say courses, I mean these are distance education courses that are available in all sorts of media. In fact, any media that's appropriate for the user. They're also free, so anything I'm talking about here is all free of charge to individuals, and it's a study they can take place in their own home.
Wow.
Excuse me a minute. I would encourage, again, people to put your phone on *6, mute, so that we don't hear all this background noise and other conversation. I appreciate that. Thank you. Go ahead.
So we do offer a lot of Braille courses, everything from the very beginning of Braille, called Tactile Readiness for Braille, learning the Braille alphabet, contracted, uncontracted Braille, Braille music and Braille reading, Braille vocal music, which is a really neat course. So we are all about Braille. I think we are actually the largest educator of Braille worldwide. So I encourage anyone who's interested in trying out Braille, we've got something at your level, whether you're a beginner or advanced, including a lot of information on the new UED code.
All right. Yeah.
So, and I emphasize again, all of our courses are free to individuals who are visually impaired.
And is it true that you have courses on things like, oh, you know, like we were talking about, whether it might be childcare or canning or cooking, you know, various different topics too, correct?
We do. We have courses, all sorts of independent living courses, including orientation and mobility basics, socializing and dining, clothing care, dressing confidently, cooking, personal care, housekeeping, home maintenance.
It has a way of making those good endorphins come out.
Becky, I'm hearing, actually, I'm hearing my friend Becky. Becky?
Good.
Becky?
So I did you see Robin or Mitch? Or?
Go right ahead, Mr. Haynes.
Sure. I wasn't sure if she had a question or not. I wanted to make sure.
I think she wanted to be part of the call, and I think it's a friend of mine, and I think she has gotten another call in the process and is on her phone and doesn't realize
okay.
that. We can hear
hopefully
her.
She doesn't discuss anything personal.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. So we do have lots of independent living courses. And for everyone who's someone who's new to vision loss or someone who's had vision loss for a long time, I do want to address that. Reminds me, you asked about the name of Hadley. And because this is a group of older adults, it's appropriate maybe I wasn't in on the decision-making about how the name got changed, but I do know a little bit about it. And you're right, it was called Hadley School for almost 100 years. But it became apparent to us that we were, there's this larger population of blind adults who are older adults, and we weren't serving those folks as much as we wanted to. And part of the feedback we got from older adults was that when they heard the word school in our name, they were saying, well, I'm older, I don't want to go back to school. So we changed our name in part because we really want to attract the older blind population. And so it's now we're officially called the Hadley Institute for the Blind and Visually Impaired.
Because they do it pretty often, I think, to ask her.
So just to address our name change there.
I don't know if it came from that, but...
Did you want me to continue?
At any rate, it's a good sign when she can come up with it.
Mr. Haynes, this is Ruth Sager. I do have a question for you. How do you determine the classes that you offer and find the instructors then to teach the classes?
We have a curriculum committee that evaluates based upon student and community feedback on what kind of classes to offer. And then our faculty is composed primarily of blindness professionals, people who have worked in the field and who have been generally either orientation mobility instructors, vocational, VRT, vision rehabilitation therapists, or TBIs, teachers for the visually impaired. And a large portion of our faculty does have vision impairments also.
Now, you also mentioned that you're worldwide, or at least for the Braille. Do you go also with other classes would you teach someone in another country? I know that sometimes people are U.S. citizens and they may be living out of the country, so would they be eligible to take any of your classes?
Yes, absolutely. Our only criteria is that people have a basic enough proficiency in the English language to access our materials, because we don't offer them in multiple languages.
Good, but they also
So that certainly could be helpful for people let's just say they're, or maybe not even in another country, but they could be in one of the, one of our non-states, but territories is what I'm thinking of, or someplace, yes.
Yeah, and I have students, and I'm an instructor at Hadley, and I have students in India, in China, Russia, all over the place. And all of our courses, again, are free for anyone who has a vision impairment, and all folks have to do is supply some kind of medical documentation, and that's for funding purposes. So I do want to talk about two other programs that might be of interest to you both. And they are not they're not part of our conventional courses, and they don't require the same kind of application process as our conventional courses. So the two different other programs I'd like to talk about first are low vision focused programs, and we have a new initiative to serve older adults with vision loss, and that's called Low Vision Focus. And essentially, these are free audio recordings on subjects related to independent living with vision loss. And all you have to do is call our number and request them, and we send them, and they're available either as it's on CDs or as a digital talking book cartridge. So whatever machine you have, we want to make sure you get them. And I'll just go through some of the titles. Making the Kitchen User-Friendly, Low Vision Cooking, Doing Simple Kitchen Tasks, Basic Tactile Marking, Keeping Prescriptions in Order, Going Out with a Friend, that's basically a tutorial and sighted guide. And these recordings are specifically tailored for older adults. They're about 30 minutes long. They're kind of in a friendly radio show format with two hosts and a little bit of music and maybe a little bit of humor. And it's an attempt for us to reach out to the older adult population and provide relevant materials that they can use immediately at home without, and either these recordings can reinforce what they learn at a NFB center, for instance. They can take the recording home after they've been there, or they can be used to prepare someone before they receive rehab assistance from an NFB center or any other kind of center. So it's called Low Vision Focus, and I can give you the toll-free number to call right now, or I can always email it to folks if they're interested.
Go ahead and say it out loud verbally if you don't mind. In that way, whoever can get it this way, and then maybe we can have you send it by email as well.
Sure. Okay. The toll-free number is 855-830-5355.
Okay.
And we're really excited about this program because it's something specifically designed to address a population that we haven't really been addressing as much as we'd like with our conventional coursework. So, and like I said, there is no real application process like there is for our general courses. You just basically call the number, give them your address, and we send off the recordings. And of course, they're free of charge. So, we'd love to have people sign up, and we'd be excited to see more people request the recordings. Another program I think folks might be interested in that we offer that's different from our conventional coursework is our iFocus videos. And I don't know if any of you folks have taken advantage of those yet. They are, of course, available online. But we have Douglas Walker, who is blind, has designed a series of videos, a lot of them at this point, designed to teach blind individuals how to use iDevices like iPhones and iPads, etc. And in fact, he's been so successful with these that we've been contacted by Apple, and they are now referencing Hadley's videos as tutorials on their accessibility page. So Apple has taken notice, which is a big deal for us. It's hard to get the attention, as you folks know, in NFB of folks like Google and Apple and IBM. You know, they don't listen to blind people normally.
Yeah, right.
But,
that's good.
So these videos, I have had, I'm not exaggerating, folks who are well over 90 years old tell me that they have learned how to use their iPhone exclusively through the use of these videos, and now they're comfortable using their iPhone. And they start right from the very beginning. These videos start right off from turning on and off your machine, how to activate VoiceOver, beginning VoiceOver gestures, all sorts of communications tutorials like placing and receiving phone calls, checking voicemail, sending a text message, etc. We also feature videos on using the low vision features. Some of you may know there's, in addition to speech, there's also low vision features on the eye devices like the magnifier, a zoom, and a speak screen feature. So these are wonderful tutorials. Douglas has a terrific manner. He goes through everything so precisely and so methodically and just in such a user-friendly way that people just naturally take to the eye devices once they start using his instructions. So those videos are accessed on our Hadley website, and that's hadley.edu, www.hadley.edu, and there is a link to videos at Hadley, and you'll see those. So I encourage anybody who's interested in learning eye devices, this is a really easy way and a accessible way to learn them without having to go to a center and have a scheduled instruction. So,
Mr. Haynes,
yes?
This is Diane McGeorge. I have a question. Of course, I was not prepared to write when you gave the toll-free number for ordering the low vision, low vision, I don't know.
The recording, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, could you repeat it, please?
I certainly can. It is 855-830-5355.
Thank you so much.
No, it's my pleasure. We would love to have people request the recordings because we're really excited about them, and I think it's a little different. A little different format, and we've tried to make tips and tricks for independent living, essentially tried to make them fun and accessible. So we'd love to have you sign up for them.
Very good. Well, we appreciate your being part of the call today, and I encourage everybody to remember these resources and give Mr. Haynes a call or Hadley a call. That would be really great.
If anyone has any questions right now,
yeah.
I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I'll sign off and let you folks continue with your discussion. I hope I haven't taken up too much time.
Not at all. No. We don't seem to have as talkative a group today.
All right. Well, then I will sign off and let you guys continue, but please don't hesitate to call me. You do have my email address, I believe, so, but it is ed, it's real simple, ed, E-D, at hadley.edu.
Okay.
So I encourage you, if you have any questions at all about any of Hadley's programs, give me a holler. I'm happy to answer them, and we'll get you set up. So thanks so much, folks.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
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 Well, good. I'm so glad we heard from him. So, discussion. This is a very quiet group. Does anyone have any comments of any ways that they've utilized, done some training in the community, whether it's blindness related or just fun stuff, and how you've been, how you've been received and that kind of thing?
Well, this is Diane. I've taken classes at a gym, exercise classes, and it was a lot of fun. I made some nice friends there. I did have to do some tactile markings on some of the machines, but the the gym was very open to that. There was no problem with that. They didn't say I couldn't do that, and they were very, very good about it. So I have done that, and of course they usually cost some money. But and Shelley, you're right. If I didn't go, I still paid the same amount of money.
Right.
So that is always helpful. But it was a very good experience for me.
Very good. Very good.
This is Diane Hemphill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been using our local senior center for different things, particularly their exercise classes, and also our recreation center for primarily exercise classes, and I've been doing this for 8 or 10 years. So all the instructors pretty much know that, I will remind them once or twice, you know, you need to give some pretty good directions. But honestly, like one told me today, she says, I am a better teacher because you are in our classes. Because she says there are some teachers, you know, get used to not giving very good instructions. And then people get, all the sighted people even forget about form or breathing or the position of your hands. And so, you know, I go to, I don't know, 8 or 10 classes a week. So I love to exercise, but I do a variety, and the classes are really good. And I've just started back with a pottery class.
Okay.
And the instructors, I've worked with a couple instructors, and they also, I mean, they're curious, like, oh, I really want to be able to help you do this. And it's something I enjoy using a potter's wheel. And, you know, initially people have to get to know you, and you can kind of talk to them about, you know, how much information you might require. But, yeah, I mean, I hope people are getting out and not just, you know, it's a good way to continue being social and people in the community getting to know you and knowing more about the capabilities of those who are blind or visually impaired.
Very good. I thumbs up all that you've said. I've found it to be helpful, and other people do appreciate it. And the verbal part, I think sighted people do. There's a lot of ways everybody learns, and sometimes people don't just get it from being shown. They have to kind of hear it and do it and all those kind of things. So that's good.
And this is Diane. I think sometimes, you know, they're in a class and they're teaching a lot of people, and you might have to say, excuse me, I just need a little more verbal instruction, and they're very open to that. You have to feel comfortable doing that because you don't want to go and just not say anything. And they respect that, and they're very, they just don't know how much to say. And so I agree, it helps everybody in the class, no, for sure.
That's good, and that is part of it, the confidence in yourself to, you know, if you have a real, you know, are involved in a class like that, don't ever hesitate. I mean, my theory has always been, as a teacher, no question is too simple or too unworthy. You know, it's you just, if you need to know, you need to know, and that's part of our feeling good about ourselves, is that we know that we can ask questions and people will respond in a positive way. Yeah. Okay, who in the group cans? Does anybody do canning? I personally have a friend that does. I don't do it, but I think that's kind of fun too. I mean, just neat, because that can be looked upon, or even cooking with like frying things or whatever, people can view those things as pretty intimidating. And
well, I never canned, Shelley. I never did do that. Goodness knows I've frozen pounds and pounds of things, but never
I've
canned.
Done some canning. Mostly I've made applesauce, but I've done peaches, and I've made strawberry jelly and canned it. Not the refrigerator kind, but just, you know, canning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I've done some of those things, just, you know. A lot of different things, but I have done those.
Uh-huh. Well, very good. Very good.
Yeah.
So has anybody taken any classes in that? Like she's talking about the extension clubs. Have any people taken classes to learn how to can? That would be pretty interesting to see how to make the adaptations. Maybe there aren't any, but I would think there would be. I don't know. I certainly never have done it.
I haven't done that. I had a coworker who showed me. And so we just did it, and she started with peaches. That's why they were easy to do. And so it's really, you know, getting yourself organized and getting a system that works for you, you know, and doing it. I think with canning, the only thing is, and they have a special funnel that when you're filling the jars, because you have to fill the jars when the if you cook the thing first, you know, when it's hot, and if it's like jelly, it's going to have sugar in it, so you don't want to get burned with that, because that can be very painful. So having a ladle or some implement so that you know that you have your jar is either a third or half full, and you know to put another one in, you know, so it's got to be fairly up to the top, but not totally, because you've got to have, you know, so you have to kind of measure some of those things out. But really, other than that, you know, once you make your measurements that are going to work for the jars you're using, you're pretty good to go.
Well, that's good.
And a lot of people use those kind of funnels and things like that that fit right over the jar. They're just safe for anybody to use.
Right. Well, now I know I heard we had different people on the calling when I called in. Hope we haven't lost a lot of people.
Well, you're about to lose me, Shelley. I have another appointment,
well,
but this has been really, really interesting today.
Thank you for joining.
Being our moderator. It was very interesting.
Y'all have
a good day. It's hot in Denver, and I'm sure it's hot where everybody else is, too. But it's June. What do we expect?
Everybody have a good day.
Thank you, Shelley. It was really interesting. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Shelley, I wanted to pick up on one thing you mentioned, which was NFB people getting together and teaching.
Right.
And so sometimes if you do even have a need, that might be something to express to your to the local chapter or so forth, and get, you know, if there isn't a class in something that you'd like to have, or if you want to teach a class in some things that you've learned, you know, that would be a way maybe to promote an activity where that you could get people together in an area, you know, and it might be at somebody's house. It doesn't have to be at a senior center. It could be at a church. It could be, you know, wherever. And you get a few people together, and either you teach the class or you participate in a class. And it could be a couple of different things being taught at the same time, you know, so that can happen, where you create the opportunity.
Right.
Either by being the instructor or being instructor in one thing and learning from someone else in something else. So we can create our own opportunities if they're not always readily available.
That's true. And a lot of times, honestly, I've learned as much from, you know, my blind friends in these kind of situations as you do from taking a class, you know, just out in the public somewhere. I mean, people have, a lot of times we automatically use alternative things, and so you're just learning a real sure, safe, you know, like foolproof way of doing things right from the get-go, and it's kind of helpful. I like that.
Uh-huh. This is Susie Stanzel.
Yes.
I'd like to mention that the NFB Crafters Division, for people that are interested in crafts, they offer classes, and they're on the listserv. And like Ramona offered a class for knitting a vest, and I took notes, and I haven't knitted it yet, but I took notes at that class, and that was very interesting. And we are very lucky with the Johnson County chapter that I'm the president of in Kansas that we have Tom Anderson from the Colorado Center, and he taught a newly blinded woman Braille, and she is now at the Colorado Center, and that was very, very helpful. And then he has offered to help a newly blinded man that we have begin to use some orientation and mobility and walk around his neighborhood.
Very good.
And he's good at the iPhone, too.
Yes, he is. I know Tom, and he is. Well, great. Great. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Well, now I don't know if Mr. Robert's still on the call, Newman, or it's, maybe he's not.
Newman?
Yeah, I didn't know if Robert was still on the phone call or not.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's done some things in, like, you know, woodworking and different things like that. I didn't know if he'd have any comments, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Crafters Division was actually on my... Oh, go ahead.
This is Susie Stanzel again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A friend of mine named Peg Halverson, who mm-hmm. has been in the Federation off and on for years, brought an air fryer to my house. I would never consider actually frying something. First of all, I don't eat things that are fried in oil, but I think I'm probably afraid also. But this fried it in air, and it was like a convection type of thing, and
mm-hmm.
that was very blind friendly to do.
That's neat to hear. That's a really big new rage, I guess you'd say, kind of the air frying. In fact, our senior division here is going to get one and use it as a raffle and a funding opportunity for our senior division. We have a member that just procured one for us, and they are really neat. I've heard that also, that they're very friendly, blindness friendly. Yeah. And you can do about anything in them, I understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. We bought some frozen mushrooms, and I didn't care much for the cheese sticks, but we bought those, and they're just different things you can put in them. Salmon, she has cooked salmon in it instead
mm-hmm.
of heating up her oven. She's, like, set it to 400 degrees or something like that. It's a little different than your conventional oven, but it's a quick way of cooking something without heating up your whole kitchen.
Mm-hmm. I just have a question, Susie. Does the outside of it get hot?
No.
Okay, because that's also good. I have worked with people who have very bad neuropathy, and sometimes we're looking for safe ways for people to, you know, prepare food, because if you don't have really good sense of touch, you don't always know how hot something is. And so
yeah.
There could be many reasons why a person might use an appliance that could be helpful. They could use it because it's quicker. You could use it because it could be more efficient, or because it enables you to prepare foods in ways that might be safer than other methods. So I have, you know, worked with people that had dual sensory issues, and that can be a challenge for people too.
That's neat to know. I hadn't thought of that aspect.
Mhm. Mhm.
Oh, very good. Well,
could we talk about our national convention and what we're offering? Our Monday afternoon class.
Yes.
That
yes.
I think Diane is getting together.
Yes. We can.
And Wednesday afternoon, I'm going to
okay.
skip my computer science meeting
yes.
for the first
okay.
time.
Okay, so I better make it good, right?
Yeah,
so
you
Monday.
Better. I have never skipped my computer science meeting, but I'm retired now, so I need
I
to
see.
Do something different.
Okay, so what Susie's asking me about is the National Federation of the Blind Senior Division has some activities at the National Convention, which is going to be in Orlando, Florida. And it's going to be from July 10 through 15. So starting July 10 in the afternoon at 1 o'clock, and I think it's Wikiwa Room 4, Diane McGeorge, who is on the phone from Colorado, is going to have a seminar, A Day in the Life of a Newly Blind Senior, where they're going to discuss and have hands-on showing people how to use some useful devices, kind of going through the day, like how you might transition from doing something visually and when you person had full sight to transitioning into some non-visual and other methods that are useful now that vision is changing and people are losing vision. And, of course, we know as a senior, if you're losing vision, the likelihood is that you probably will continue to do so the longer you live. That's just sort of the reality. So learning how to use some devices and some techniques and practicing them can help a person be more comfortable and be able to accomplish the things in life that they want to do. So that seminar will be from 1 until 4. And then on Wednesday, we do at 12:30 till 1:30, we have our registration for our senior division. And Shelley didn't mention, but she's our secretary of the National Federation of Science Senior Division. She
yes,
is the president of South
yes,
Carolina's senior division, and we're glad
yes,
for that.
Yes.
So at our meeting, we're going to hear from some seniors who are going to talk about their kind of journey dealing with vision loss and meeting the Federation and how that's affected their lives. We're going to hear from a couple of people who are starting senior divisions in their state, so people have some ideas on how to maybe do that. We are going to hear or see the Colorado Center has a DVD, I believe, and they call it Seniors in Charge, which is their senior program. So we're going to show that. And Susie's going to also talk about some of her experiences that she's had dealing with health professionals when we have other issues as we age. And we have to learn some, you know, physical things and learn things differently, and how we almost have to teach the health professionals to teach us what we need
exactly,
to know. So, like, if we have to learn to use a walker, how do we use the walker and get about if we're used to using a cane, or how do we do things? You know, we have to make adaptions too. It isn't, you know, depending on what our situation is and when should we use what technique. And sometimes we have to combine what we know with maybe what they know from the medical standpoint. So I was really excited a few years ago at the Federation. We had a young person who was getting a scholarship, and he was studying physical therapy. And I thought, wow, that would be great to have a blind physical therapist who understood blindness and physical therapy. We need lots of people like that, you know. So hopefully we'll get more people doing those kinds of things because the need is great. You know, a lot of times there's combinations of things that we're dealing with. And then I'm hoping that we will get someone from ICANN Connect that isn't totally cemented yet. ICANN Connect is a program that the Helen Keller Center has on equipment that can be used for people who are losing vision and losing hearing. And so they have a variety of things that might be helpful and when to use what type of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So we have lots of things going on. We also will have a table this year at the convention. The seniors will be selling jewelry, and it is jewelry that people might be familiar with. In past years, the New Mexico affiliate sold it, but they stopped selling it, so we're going to start, at least for this year. And the reason that we're selling jewelry is we're going to fundraise, and that is we are holding for the first time a senior retreat. We recognize that many seniors have some basic training in their states but would benefit from maybe more intensive training. And so the senior retreat is going to be held in South Carolina at Rocky Bottom, which is a camp that's owned and run by the South Carolina affiliate. And it will be October 8th through the 14th. So it'll be a week of training. And people need to apply for that. And we do have limited space. We can only take so many people to make it successful. There is a cost. People can find out more about it. We have made an announcement. It's on the senior listserv if people are signed up with that. I believe an announcement in the Braille Monitor and some other places. We will have applications at the convention.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's in the mountains. It's a beautiful
yes.
location. It's pretty scenic. It's kind of near, not too awfully far from Asheville, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of in the beginnings of the Appalachian Mountains there, or the end of it, whichever way you're traveling. And it's a real pretty sight. And so we're excited about that.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have blind instructors teaching cane travel and computer
mm-hmm.
technology and independent living and cooking skills. And we'll do fun things and we will do practical things so that when people leave, they will have a better grasp of maybe the skills that they want to continue to learn and have a good basic beginning so that they can go home and be able to be more independent and do the things that they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I can tell you about the senior division at the convention and after.
Yep.
We want to reach out to seniors and give people opportunities. Well, if people have an opportunity, you know, they will take advantage and they will learn and
mm-hmm.
have improved quality of life and maintain that those things that they want to be able to do.
Very good.
Yeah. So does anybody have any questions on any of those things? No. Okay.
And there's a lot of, if you happen to go to the NFB convention, there are a lot of just exhibitors, and you can find anything from low-tech to sophisticated technology to sweatshirts to buy to cups to drink out of. I mean, there's a whole exhibit hall. A lot of aid and appliance things for the blind. There's several different groups that sell aids and appliances, canes, all kinds of things. So I encourage anybody to make use of your time and go through the exhibit hall. It's a great place to learn about a lot of different things.
This,
well, this
is Susie.
Yes.
On the announcement for this call, you said it was the last one for 2017. I'm a little confused about that.
Well, I should have said maybe for the spring.
Spring. That's
now,
what you said.
Well,
that's what you said. Okay.
Well, it could be. Now, sometimes we've had a fall series of calls, but then on the other hand, sometimes our falls get kind of busy with other things. And this year with the training going on in South Carolina in October, and then you get into your holiday season,
right.
We just kind of play that by ear. We kind of figure that out. The Senior Division Board just kind of figures that out as we go. We kind of especially do it in the spring up to the time of convention, and then we kind of reconvene in the fall and figure out what our fall looks like as far as teachers to do the phone calls and topics, and we try and kind of switch it up to, you know, have a variety of different things. So it's possible we would have some in the fall. We just haven't really gotten that far yet.
Yeah.
So
well,
that's maybe why
I
it was worded
I have
that
enjoyed
way.
I have enjoyed these calls.
Uh-huh.
And
very good.
I know I have my new chapter member is maybe on this call. And he mm-hmm. attends them regularly.
Oh, good.
And they are accessible afterwards. So they do get put up on our senior webpage, and they can be downloaded as an MP3 file, I believe. And then there's a callback number. If people don't want to download it, you can call back using the callback number, and then they will ask you for the access code, which is the same number that you used, and then you are asked for a reference number, and I think we're up to 20 or 21. I think this call is 21, I'm not sure. So you can listen to past calls on different topics as well, or you could download them too from the internet. So they're available to be used, you know, for groups of seniors, for persons individually or however people want to access the information and the topics that have been discussed.
Mm-hmm. We might be able to do access that with a, like, if I called in to our seniors meeting on the phone and then I got it on my iPhone, I could maybe play it for the seniors meeting. This is Susie. I forgot to say my name.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, mm-hmm. You could. And actually, there's been a group from the Colorado Center before, a senior group, that actually did a conference call sort of setting. And they were all gathered at the same time as we happened to do this call, and they just listened in on it as a group.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
There's a couple ways. Yes, you could do that. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Whatever kind of method will work. Will work for you. So the callback number is 712-432-1202. And then you use the same access number, the 759-633-pound. So there are ways to get the information. And you could share, I mean, that's kind of the idea, that you can share it with other groups of seniors, you know, whether it be from a local chapter or if it's a group of people that you want to hear about the topic or whatever group it might be that you could share with other people. Okay. Well, Shelley, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
It's been a great time. And just thank you very much, and we hope to see people at convention, those that come, and otherwise join in on our calls and keep updated on them.
And you can join the senior listserv to find out more information about upcoming things that may happen. So I don't know, Shelley is right, we haven't planned our fall if we do calls in the fall, but we will. We always start up in the spring, so we will certainly have some for next spring. I don't know about the fall, but we do post them on our senior listserv page.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shelley.
Okay.
Thank
and
you,
Ruth,
Shelley.
We do have some more people that have signed up for the camp.
Oh, good. So, wonderful.
Yeah,
good,
I think
good.
From even Washington State or somewhere.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'll have to talk
with
you.
This is Susie,
so
and I will be
yes.
happy to help at the table some. I didn't know till today that we were doing that. And I always help Age and Appliances, Independence Market.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
great.
Maybe on a noon hour, say.
Okay. How about Thursday noon?
That'd be good.
Okay. I'll put you down for Thursday noon.
I haven't signed up for Independence Market yet.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Susie.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thanks,
and I think I can get Cindy Ray to help also, possibly.
Okay. Great.
All right. Okay.
Thanks so much.
You're
okay.
welcome.
All righty.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, Ruth.
Bye.
We'll
bye
talk
bye,
to you
Ruth.
Later.